Hey, everybody, it is Monday, and it's a little bit later than we usually start, but it is Snipes and Stripes Weekend Edition with my good friend Tim Peel right here on nofilter.net, where the fans can join the fun, and the fun is always the fans. I mean, I just made that up. That's pretty good. So that's pretty good. What's up, Tim? How was your weekend, buddy?
It was good, buddy. We were in Nashville. I think I got out-coached in the semifinal game. We were we lost 2-1 in overtime in the semis. Half the team's crying. Bronson's crying. You know, they're 11, 12 years old. Lost 2-1 in overtime, but it was fun. Like, we took the kids down to Broadway and showed them what Nashville's like on the weekend. So,
oh, that's awesome.
So it was fun. It was fun. Great hockey. I got to take the kids today and Tisha to see Austin Matthews, buddy. You got another one today.
So it was awesome. It was Toronto versus St. Louis. So you went to the afternoon matinee.
Correct.
With Toronto. What a fun game to go to, seeing Austin Matthews at his hottest. And he didn't disappoint, did he?
No, he hit the post early in the first period. I thought, here we go again. He may have one of those nights. You know, as you know, he just came off back-to-back hat tricks. This would have been the first time in the history of the NHL if he hadn't done it today. I couldn't believe that. I thought that it had been done beforehand. To score a hat trick.
In back-to-back games?
Back-to-back-to-back in three.
Oh, weeks. Three times, yeah. I did back-to-back once.
Did you?
Colorado, Jersey. And so I did against Patrick and against Marty Brodeur.
And were you playing for Philly or Chicago?
I was playing in Arizona, actually. It was Arizona. Yeah.
You got a good team.
Yeah. So I had a good run there. It's very hard to do that. By the way, that's six hat tricks, I think, for Austin Matthews this year. My whole career, I had 11. That goes to show you how great of a goal scorer this is. He's got, what, 49 goals now in, what, 54 games, 53 games? I mean, that's unheard of, man.
I know. No, I know. Every time we talk about somebody on our show, they go on fire. We have Evander Kane on. Who others go on fire? We talked about Austin Matthews last week. He's on fire. So we must be bringing good luck to a bunch of people. I want to talk about, first of all, the game was kind of a dud, too. And I was looking at the stats a few minutes ago for St. Louis, because now it's going to see, is Doug Armstrong going to be a seller? Because the trade deadline's in another
2 weeks.
Yeah. First, I think. They're 22nd in goals for, they're 25th in penalty kill, they're 22nd in power play. Like, none of the stats stick out. So it'll be interesting to see, but I want to talk about.
So if they're going to be sellers in the trade that end, they're right on the bubble of playoffs. They're not going to be sellers. They're going to be looking to acquire something. No.
See, that's the problem is they've got teams right there. Minnesota and Nashville are chasing them. And we saw today what happened in Minnesota. They put up a 10 spot on Vancouver, which is unheard of. There were 9 goals in the third period today on President's Day, which is just, it's unbelievable. It's a 10-7. That's going back to the 1984 Oilers games, right? Like 10-7. It's crazy. So I don't know. I don't know if you had asked me a week ago, which I think you did, or I said it, I thought St. Louis would make it. Nashville and Minnesota are playing well. And you know what? We've been all over L.A., buddy, the last
weeks. I don't know. I don't know about Minnesota playing so well. They just gave up a 10-7 loss.
No.
In Vancouver.
No, Mini won 10-7.
Mini won 10-7.
Yeah, they won 10-7.
I thought it was the other way around. I mean, you can't say that I'm wrong because it's Vancouver, right? You would think that Vancouver.
I was in Minnesota this afternoon, so can you imagine? That would have been a fun game to be at if you took your kids too. But you know what? We've been all over LA, bud, rightfully so. They've been shit in the bed. It just has not been going well for them. I was watching them play Boston on the weekend. Boston was playing, both teams were playing well. LA scored late, and then they scored in overtime.
Yep.
Big 5-4 win. And then they go to Pitt the night that they're retiring Jaromir Jagr's jersey. which had to be a special night in Pittsburgh.
What an unbelievable gesture. And I can't believe it's taken so long, by the way, for them to retire Jagr's jersey.
Well, I'm going to ask you about him in a sec. So they go into Pittsburgh. They win 2-1. Now they're right there. You know, they've got 64 points. They've moved up a little bit, crept away from St. Louis, Minnesota, Nashville. So maybe they're a little more comfortable. But I wanted to ask you about that because what was Jaromir Jagr like to play against?
He was an absolute beast. And when I say that, he was not the prettiest player in the world. But you know that term stick handle in a phone booth, right?
Yep.
I think they made that term because of Jaromir Jagr. Or if they didn't, Jaromir Jagr perfected the actual stick handling in a phone booth, because this guy had the most incredible hands, and he wasn't the fastest of skaters and he wasn't the prettiest of skaters, but the power that this guy had, his ability to keep the puck from you, you would see it and you would be 1,000,000% sure that you were going to get that puck, and you would go after it and you'd be like, whoop, toe drag around you. And then he would be by you.
Unbelievable. I know.
His ass is as big as a rhino.
Yeah.
Okay. And every time you try to hit this guy, he is like cemented into the ice. You just bounce right off him. He either sticks his ass into you or his shoulder. He turns and protects the puck. And the next thing you know, you're on the ice and he's going by you with a chance to score. The guy, the talent and the brain that this guy had was second to none. And you think about it. He spent 3 to 5 years in the Czech League. 3 years for sure in his prime, and he's ended up with 776 goals in the National Hockey League. That's only 110 from Gretz, right? Just think of that. 120 from Gretz.
Those highlight. You could pull up highlight films, reels all day of him stick handling. He's got three guys draped over him. Next thing you know, he cuts in, boom. It was unbelievable. But the best part of his speech last night in Pittsburgh. So I saw a clip yesterday, and I forget who the player was, but it said, I went to Jaromir Jagr's birthday party one time, and there were 75 people invited to the party, and 70 of them were girls. And he's never been married, right? He's dedicated his life to hockey and his craft. And in his speech yesterday, he's got a new Russian model on his side, or Czech, I don't know where she's from. She's European. And he goes, I forget her name, but he says, yeah, he goes, I told so-and-so how good I was and what I did in Pittsburgh, because she's too young to remember me playing. And everybody laughed in the arena. It was phenomenal.
She was probably not even born yet when Jaromir Jagr absolutely turned my entire team inside out in the finals, in the Stanley Cup Finals, game one in Pittsburgh. We were on a Chicago Blackhawks. We were in an 11-game win streak going into the finals. Pittsburgh was on a 7-game win streak going into the finals. We're up 4-1, and we're thinking we're going to steal game one here in Pittsburgh. Now, remember, Pittsburgh had 9 Hall of Famers on that team. I mean, they had Fran Francis. They had Larry Murphy. They had Mario Jagr, Tak, Recchi, Brasso, Stevens, Coffey. I mean, you just go right on Trottier. You just go right on down the line how many players these guys had. And Jaromir Jagr, when it was 4-1, he took the puck off the boards, beat Brett Sutter out of his jock, beat Kuchera out of his jock, then beat one of our Russian defensive out of his jock, then went back and beat Kuchera again and spun him around, and then deked Eddie out of the net. He beat our entire team on the ice twice to make it 4-2. And we all looked at that and said, we're in trouble. We are in trouble.
What period is this?
This was in the second period. We're up 4-1 in the second period, and Jaromir does this miraculous goal that just dropped everybody's jaw. And then, you know, then Mario said, I got to top that. Mario goes to scores 2. One of them, the game winner that Mario scores late in the third period, he actually saw Eddie with his knees bent on the post, and Mario's behind the net.
Yeah.
And Eddie's got his legs. He's got about a 4x4 little hole that's going right to the back of Eddie's leg. And Mario just shoots it right at the back of his leg, goes off the back of his knee into the net. And that was the end of game one. And it was just, it was so deflating as a team.
Right?
And they beat us four straight that Stanley Cup round, each by one goal. And that was the closest I ever got to winning the Stanley Cup. And Pittsburgh Penguins and Mario Lemieux and Jagr just absolutely just crushed my heart. But mm-hmm. I love them to death. I love Jagr. Let me tell you another story about Jagr, which is really cool. So my family went to Vegas, and we stayed at the MGM Mansions for a couple of days. Or Jaromir used to go stay and live at the Mansions for like a month and a half in the summer, because he was a big gambler, as you know. He loved the tables. He loved Pai Gow. He loved blackjack. He loved roulette. I mean, the guy just is a crazy gambler. Maybe that's another reason why he never got married, is because all of his money went towards gambling. But so we're in the pool. Right. And all the kids are in the pool now. It's myself. It's my wife, Tracy. It's my son, Brett. And Brett has Claude Lemieux's son, Brendan, who now plays for Carolina. So yeah. Brendan Lemieux and my son are in the pool. And out comes Jaromir Jagr with a coffee and a paper. And he sits at the table. Like, I'm like, JJ, is that you? He's like, oh, yeah. What's up, JR? What are you doing? What are you doing here? I'm like, well, we're here having fun. What are you doing here? He goes, I live here for the summer. I'm like, you live here? He's like, yeah. I said, you're here by yourself? He's like, yeah, I've just come down to do my workout. What's your workout? He goes, I do my workout here in the pool every morning to start my day. So he took a sip of his coffee. He took off his shirt. He jumped in the water, and the water was kind of just up past his belly button. And he proceeded to do one-legged jumps, and he tried to jump as far out of the water as he could. And he did it one leg, 100 jumps, and then he did the other leg, 100 jumps, as high as he could out of the water. And then he got out of the water, dried himself off, started sipping his coffee and reading the paper. About 10 minutes later, he would get in, and he'd do it again, 100 on one leg, 100 jumps out of the water on the other, and he would do this 10 times until he had 1,000 jumps out of the water on one leg, one-legged leaps. And I'm sitting here going, holy cow. And he actually told Brett and Brendan to come do it with him, and they couldn't even finish 50. And here this guy is throwing 100 one-legged leaps out of the water per leg 10 times. Which tells you why his ass is so big, why he's so strong, and why he's such a power forward like he was. The guy is a freak of nature.
Yeah, he is. I believe that story 1,000% because I saw an interview with him a week or two ago, and he said when he was 12 years old, he started doing 1,000 squats a day. 1,000 squats. I said to Bronson, I go, look at this, 1,000 squats a day. It's unbelievable.
And just like let that sink in, right? One of the best players in the world didn't use weights. Right. He was a body weight guy. He was a lunge guy. He was a power jumper. He just worked his ass off, literally. Well, he didn't work his ass off because it was so big, but he did do a lot of things that made the difference in terms of what power became for him.
Well, the trainers from Florida, when he played for the Panthers, said they'd get an alert that somebody had entered the building, and it would be Yags at 2 a.m. He'd go over there at 2 a.m., 1 a.m., go work out.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Hey, let's talk about the outdoor game a little bit, because we've been kind of, I don't know if we've been pushing for the Islanders, but we've kind of been expecting Patrick to get them going. But, JR, they can't keep a lead.
It's unbelievable.
They can't keep a lead. It's crazy. But
I think they're afraid now. I think literally they're afraid.
Before we get into that, I want to give a shout out to Matt Rempe, who is 6'7", drafted in the sixth round, played the last 2 years in the American League. His first shift for the Rangers last night, he got in because Blake Wheeler's done for the year. When I saw Matt Rempe, 6'7", I just assumed he was a defenseman. He's a centerman. And kudos to Matt Martin. Matt Martin says, do you want to put on a show? Rempe mentions it. He goes, I can't thank Matt enough, because Matt, kind of said, hey, let's do it. And he afforded me the fight, he said, is his exact quote. And his first shift in the NHL, and he fought Matt Martin. I loved it. What a way to get What a way to get 80 or 90,000 people riled up.
Yeah, no question. That's old-fashioned hockey. And Matt Martin is one of the pure class class hockey players, class people of this National Hockey League for the last 15 years. There's no question Matt Martin is an amazing person. And he knew the situation, so good for him. And you know, we talk about these games and, you know, they did two back-to-back. They had Philly and New Jersey the night before, which was a pretty awesome game. Jersey showed up and played a great game. Then last night, listen, Rangers, Islanders, perfect game to have at MetLife Stadium. It was ruckus. It was crazy. It was loud. All the fans got into it. It's what you want in an outdoor game. But no. I'm afraid. Are they diluting it too much if they continue to do these Stadium Series games? They did one Heritage in Canada. They did the Winter Classic at New Year's. Now they do two outdoors. Is it too much, or do you think the fans just love it so much that it's a never ending craving for it?
Never ending. Is somebody in Chicago going to watch those games yesterday? I don't know. But 90,000 people in the New York area are the New York Philly area. So their stories yesterday, they're like, should we do this every year in New York, like Boston does the Beanpot, the four teams in, you know, Philly, Islanders, Devils, and Rangers. The atmosphere was awesome. I saw Potvin being interviewed with Denny Potvin with Brian Trotche. You could just tell they were on cloud nine. They were having a blast. One last thing about that fight is Matt Martin said that to Rempe, he says, you have a longer reach than Zdeno Chara, he said.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, good for him.
Your point, I think it's good. If you had, you know, they're in Chicago next year, the Blues, St. Louis fans are already buying hotels, buying tickets. It's for that the city that's in hosting it. The fans embrace it in that city, and I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I like them too. I just think it brings you back to those days of playing on the pond. There's something about playing outside. I do think that playing in football stadiums might be a little bit better for views than it is in baseball, because there are a lot of seats that are going to get obstructed views because of where they are on the field. There's definitely some people that get gypped in terms of that end up watching it on the Jumbotron rather than watching the actual game. But it's just the atmosphere that's being out there, right? It's cold. It's you know, it's the sounds. It's very, very traditional, if you ask me. And I think it's great. But I was really shocked that the Islanders lost that game, that they allowed the Rangers back in. And the Rangers have been playing some really good hockey lately. I mean, Panarin's playing great. Fox is playing great. Zibanejad, obviously, Kreider is flying high right now. He's sniping. I think he's almost got 30 goals already. But I'm telling you right now, after watching the practices that Patrick Waugh has been doing with the Islanders, and hearing and seeing this bag skate, I think they're afraid to lose. Yeah. I think in the third period they had a 2-goal lead, and you know what, 2-goal lead, it's the worst lead in hockey. You know that there's thinking that on the bench. And as soon as they scored that fourth goal to make it 5-4, you know their ass is puckered right up. And they went, oh, my God, if we lose this game, we're going to get bag skated again. We're going to get yelled at again. And they play a totally different game. They play a tense game. They play a conservative game. And you can't play against that like that with the New York Rangers and end up biting them. Amazing.
Yeah. We'll see what happens over the next little while. You know what? You go from playing in a 90,000 seat building to playing in a 4,800 seat building. You and I have, and especially you, really liked the makeup of this Arizona team a month ago. But JR, they just lost today to Edmonton 6-3. Our boy Evander Kane got two more goals, and in Arizona, that's their 10th loss in a row, buddy.
They can't seem to get over that last hump. I mean, just 2 days ago, they lost to Colorado 4-3 in Colorado.
I know.
I mean, they still compete, but they are falling short of finishing these games off and finding a way to get over the top. And they'll find it. I still love their compete. I love the way that they grind. They still have, a mentality and a system that works for them. They're not too far off. They're not too far off. No, they're not going to make the playoffs this year. I think they understand that. But still, I love the way that they're making other teams sweat. And they made Colorado sweat, and they'll make any team that's coming down the final stretch with an opportunity to make the playoffs, they're going to make them sweat those games out because they're going to love being spoilers. So I still think good for Arizona.
We talked about, I got asked today actually who my pick was for the Stanley Cup, and I said I have no idea. I said, Mike, now if you want me to give you my pick from the East, my pick from the East is Florida. I think they're a better all-around team than Boston. You were on the Tkachuk train last Wednesday.
Yeah.
And Matthew had
four. And he stayed hot. He had five. Did he have four more points, 2-2?
Yeah. Yesterday. I think they're the best team in the East. Who do you like out of the West? You know, we've got Vegas, you've got Winnipeg, you've got Colorado, yeah. Dallas.
Vancouver, Dallas. I'm telling you right now, Dallas is a sneaky team. They are a sneaky team. They lost 4-3 to Boston today, which I'm sure they're pretty disappointed at. But this team is full. They have a deep team. They have great defense. That Haskinen is absolutely sick on defense. You got great offense. Guys that are putting pucks in the net. Ben can still bring it on. Sagan still can bring it on. Marchment is a great power forward. They have a great goaltender in Ottinger. But listen, Vancouver is playing great. Can't count out Winnipeg. Don't count out Edmonton. Obviously, you know, those two guys are going to have that team flying high. If their goaltending can stay as hot as they have been for the last 20 games, Connor McDavid is going to be going after that scoring title. He's going to start amping it up, which is going to give his team a lot of mojo. But I still think Dallas is going to find a way to sneak it out of the West. It's just something about it. They've been teetering at it for the last couple of years and haven't gotten over the top. But I think this year might be their year.
That'll be. I think the West playoffs. All the playoffs are good, but the West playoffs.
West are going to be sick. Oof. Could you imagine?
Big time. Winnipeg, Edmonton, Vegas, Dallas, Colorado. Come on. Are you kidding me? That's unbelievable.
I mean, just seeing three teams in Canada in the playoffs in the West. We haven't seen that in the longest time, right? So, we might have seen Edmonton, Calgary and there. But now we have Vancouver, which is they've shown to be a powerhouse.
Time Calgary looks like they're going to falter off, They win again. They beat Winnipeg at home today, 6-3. I can't figure that team out. But Vegas won again. They beat the Sharks 4-0. Detroit's been playing well. And, I don't know if Jersey and the Islanders are going to be able to catch them, JR.
Yeah, I don't know. It's good. It's going to be crazy. I don't know. It's going to be such a crazy sprint to the end of the season here. Well, there's 25 more games left in the season. Is that kind of pretty close to most of these teams? I don't know. I'm looking at these scores, right? And Buffalo loses at home to Anaheim. Like, Buffalo's got to do something. Buffalo's got to do something. They got to fire some people, man. It's enough is enough up there. Maybe them missing the playoffs. And, you know, again, their home record is atrocious. I don't know if you've seen their home record, but it's absolutely atrocious, especially to the teams that they're losing to. Patrick Kane's coming back. I think he had his 800th point tonight. 800 for Patrick Kane. I mean, this guy's had an unbelievable career. He's got 25 points in 26 games for Detroit. I mean, this guy hasn't lost a step. He's coming back and playing some great hockey and probably making this team a lot better in Detroit. You never know what's going to happen with that team. I think they're an up-and-coming team to watch for sure. Chicago Blackhawks can't get out of their own way right now. It was great to see Bedard back in the lineup. He comes back with a goal and assists and, you know, doing his dynamic self. But they just can't seem to – to find any kind of chemistry with your team that just when you think you get the top player in the draft and everything's changing the wrong way. Looks like Hawks fans are going to have to be very patient in this rebuild and seeing who are they going to get to help this kid, Connor Bedard, who is just a fantastic, phenomenal hockey player. And he's showing it again, you know, coming back off of this jaw injury with a goal right in the first game. He needs help, man.
How long does this rebuild take?
It's been 3 or 4 years now, right? And I think it's probably going to take another three.
Right. Like, that's a long rebuild to me.
Let's take it this way. When they traded me in 1996, then they got rid of a couple other players. In 1998, Chicago Blackhawks were now in a rebuild situation. In 2002, 2003, 2004, they were the last place team in the league. That's when they got Jonathan Toews. That's when they got Patrick Kane, 2004, 2005. So if you think about it, the rebuild started in 98, and they didn't win a cup until 2010. That's a 12-year rebuild. I think they could be looking at another 10-year rebuild right now. And it drives me crazy because I'm such a huge Hawks fan. I love this city and this team so much. And I know these fans want to win so bad. And I just – it's going to be really important. This GM needs to make some serious, really solid – off-season moves to make this team better.
You know, you talked about Buffalo, and our buddy Matthew Barnaby said they're on a 10-year rebuild. He texted me weeks ago. If you're the Buffalo fans, do you not say, F you, we are not buying tickets anymore? Like, this is a joke. This is a joke of a franchise right now. And this is owned by a billionaire, Terry Pegula, and how are they allowing this to happen?
Tim Pegula. What's really unbelievable to me is the fact that, and I love the Granados. Don't get me wrong. This is not a Don Granato thing.
I know.
But this guy's got nine lives, man. He must have naked pictures of somebody in his drawer.
Yeah.
You know, holding somebody hostage here because. There are so many coaches that have gotten fired with better records and littler leeway. And this guy just continues to, you know, get second chance after second chance. I would be shocked if it was the same coach and same GM in Buffalo coming next year. I really would.
Our buddy McJesus has 91 points, or I'm sorry, 81 points. He's 13 behind. He's played 6 or 7 games.
How many points did he have today?
He's got 81 as of today. And Kucherov's got 94. McKinnon's got 91. Does McDavid catch them? I think he does.
Yes, McDavid catches them. I think without question, he's going to go on a tear. I mean, this is crazy. He only had 2 points tonight in the 6-3 win over Arizona.
You know, I'm at that Leaf game today, and a buddy of mine sitting in front of me, and he looks back, he goes, man, there's a lot of money out in the ice here right now. And I looked, and it's a power play, right? Nylander, Marner, Tavares, Matthews. And then I'm looking at their D core, TJ Brody, McCabe. Riley wasn't playing today, but Riley, Liljegren, and I'm like, is this team built to win? I'm sorry.
Built for offense, man. They better score a lot of goals in the playoffs because they're going to give up a lot of goals.
Guess what? You don't score a lot of goals in the playoffs.
I know. Well, they're not built for the playoffs, right? They're not built for the playoffs. They're built for speed. They're built for goals. They're built for speed. But I'll tell you what, they showed their talent on that goal by Austin Matthews. You see, every goal scorer, young goal scorer, every young kid that wants to score goals should watch exactly what Austin Matthews did on his goal today. He watched the puck, and absolutely darted right into the most powerful, one of the best scoring positions on the ice, and that was right in the slot where nobody was, and he got in position, and Marner made a nice pass to put it on his tape, and it was a wide-open net. That's how you score goals. You score goals by moving into places, by getting to the high traffic areas, by getting into those high scoring zones. And working your ass off and thinking the game. And Auston Matthews, that's why he has 49 goals, and that's why he's probably going to end up with 70 this year. So anyway, what a nice little 30 minutes. Tim Peel, nofilter.net brings it again. Snipes and Stripes, weekend edition, even though we threw in a little holiday Monday Presidents Day scores. Great job, Tim. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you got to see Auston Matthews live and in person, and I got to see you live and in person on my computer. So great job today, buddy.
You bet. I'll see you Wednesday.
All right. We'll see everybody on Wednesday, 7 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern time, 4 o'clock Pacific right here on nofilter.net. It will be Snipes and Stripes, the real edition. Have a great couple of days.